The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with an awards section headline, Leaders in Diversity. 13 individuals and 10 companies from the Triangle region are recognized for their contributions to forward the causes associated with diversity and inclusion. And as there are a number of profiles, we'll pick one individual, one business, and then read off the rest of the names. The first one, Esperanza Harper, Associate Principal, LS3P. Birthplace, Hartford, Connecticut. Family, husband, Chris, son, Christopher, daughter, Shaquinta Beckwith. Education, BA, Art History, Tufts University, M. Arch, University of Michigan. Company is a design firm. How did you contribute to your organization's diversity and inclusive mission? I have been faithfully contributing to our mission first in co-authorship of the LS3P Diversity and Inclusion Strategic Plan in 2020 and continued position on the JEDI Advisory Board. I have also been representing LS3P nationally as a thought leader in health equity design, bringing awareness and advocacy to the role architects can play in closing health disparities using design thinking. What are the greatest challenges in implementing a diversity and inclusive policy in any organization? The greatest challenge I see is fear around the topic of justice. We're willing to acknowledge the benefits of a diverse and inclusive workplace. However, when it comes to justice or making things right, we fear the repercussions for such a bold stance. Justice is the opportunity for organizations to make generational change by influencing laws, governance, and society to treat individuals in a manner that is equitable and fair. What's something you're optimistic about going forward? Our ability to make faster strides toward diversity and inclusion. Not only are more intentional about creating a diverse and inclusive environment than when I started in the industry, but our next generation is holding us accountable. Where do you see the best example of diversity and inclusion advancing in the Triangle? Boxyard RTP, the pop-up initiative that gives women and minority-owned businesses a helping hand. Have you seen progress toward diversity and inclusion in the past year? Yes, and I would love to see more K-12 education and programs around the topic of the benefits of diverse, equitable, and inclusive communities and the role children can play as advocates. What is your most rewarding volunteer experience? Volunteering last year at the Boys and Girls Club of NC Steamed Teen Summit with my fellow LS3 peers and my son who attends the Boys Club of Raleigh. And the other individual winners include Grishma Ajmera, Pharmacy Manager, CVS Health, Lisa Bamford, Director of Business Development and Global Marketing, ScienceX, Raymond Hummel, Vice President of Medical and Scientific Strategy, Head of the Rare Disease Consortium, Syneos Health, Cade Kimber, President, Harmony, NCLGBT Plus, Allied Chamber of Commerce, Rocia A. Lopez, Global Operations Head and Head of DEI and Clinical Trials, Johnson & Johnson Innovative Medicine. Kellen Moore, President and CEO, John Rex Endowment. Luaskia Nanon, Deputy General Counsel and DEI Task Force Chair, Toshiba Global Commerce Solutions. Ashley Parker, Judge, NC Administrative Office of the Courts. Joanne Pierce, Assistant County Manager, Durham County Government. Sumali Sanyal, Managing Director, Senior Portfolio Manager, Exponents. Cheryl Stokes, CEO, CNext. Kimberly Velasquez, Manager, Talent Acquisition and Engagement, Builders Mutual. And in the companies category, we'll read Coastal Credit Union, CEO, Tyler Grody, Employee 636, founded 1967. Description, not-for-profit, member-owned, financial cooperative with 330,000 members from 1,800 business partners. What are the company's notable accomplishments in the past year in the field of diversity and inclusion? Our employee-led Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Committee served as internal advocates and advisors to help guide company leaders toward modeling our welcome diversity value and ensuring an inclusive workforce workplace for all. We partnered with Humanidae, to further build out our commitment to making our core value of welcoming diversity a stronger part of our company culture. We also made 100% employee participation in diversity training one of our annual performance goals for 2023. What are the greatest challenges in implementing a diversity and inclusive policy in an organization? Designing a correct and holistic definition of DEI in a positive manner that communicates a full understanding of the goals of the policy. It is important to communicate why it's an integral part of any organization's growth and development, and that it's positive for every individual's development as an adaptive and productive asset in today's workforce. Given the unrest of the past years, will you change your company's mission and strategy relating to diversity and inclusion initiatives? Credit unions are started as a tool for social change and justice, and that remains at the very core of why we continue to exist today. Welcoming diversity already was one of Coastal's core values. Has a commitment to DEI had a measurable impact on your business? Our commitment to DEI has led to amazing public testimonies that have brought our organization new business opportunities. We've had various people start new and retain old business relationships with our organization directly because of our stated commitment to DEIB. This commitment has also led to better talent recruiting in various positions, which has led to higher productivity within those positions and thus highlighted even more positive impact. What percentage of your employee base are women, people of color, and part of the LGBTQ plus community? 65% women, 48% people of color, and that for the third unknown do not track. What percentage of your executive team are women, people of color, and part of the LGBTQ community? 44% women, 55% people of color, and unknown do not track. And the rest of our winners for the businesses, the companies, are El Futuro, community-based nonprofit organization that seeks to transform Latino-serving mental health care in North Carolina and beyond. Enact, a private mortgage insurance provider. First Citizens Bank, largest family-controlled bank in the United States. Lundy Management Group, tackling the Triangle's commercial property challenges since 1986. MetLife, leading insurance and financial services companies, serving more than 90 million customers across 42 countries. Parexel, a clinical research organization providing the full range of phase 1 through 4 clinical development services to help life-saving treatments reach patients faster. Relias, provides lifelong workforce enablement solutions for over 11,000 healthcare and human services organizations and 4.5 million caregivers. And Research Triangle Foundation of NC facilitates collaboration between industries, universities, and the workforce to attract the world's most innovative companies and top-tier talent. And finally, WakeMed. Serving the community since 1961, WakeMed is the largest non-for-profit healthcare system in Wake County. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by managing editor Dane Huffman. Carrie Mansion sells after all. A Carrie Mansion didn't fetch the massive price it sought when it went on the market in February 2022, but it has sold as the market is starting to normalize. As a general rule, the upper end has been moving better, says Joe Hodge of Hodge and Cottrell Sotheby's International. Hodge was the listing agent for 2029 Giovanni Court, which originally asked $9 million and sold for $6.5 million to Jared and Monica Purvis. The home includes nearly 13,000 square feet of space. The home, built by luxury home builder John Ruffty and designed by Carter Skinner, has 6 bedrooms and 6 full bathrooms and 3 half baths. Overall, Hodge says the price range from $500,000 to $800,000 is not quite as active, as higher mortgage rates discourage younger buyers. But he adds, over $1 million, I can't believe how many we are selling. A lot of them have cash and they aren't worried about rates. According to Triangle Multiple Listing Services, numbers from the Raleigh Regional Association of Realtors, there are 325 homes in Wake County for sale for more than $1 million, with an average of 92 days on the market. There are 940 homes between $500,000 and $1 million, averaging 52 days on the market. Market analyst Stacy Enfinson says average days on the market rose from 19 in August 2022 to 36 this August, but the average sales price rose 4%, so homes are selling. We're not seeing the frenzy that we had, Hodge says. We are seeing some multiple offers, but we're not seeing people standing in line waiting to get in. I'd say the market has normalized. It's not crazy anymore. NC State gets funding to expand vet school. The recent state budget approved by lawmakers puts millions of dollars toward hospitals for humans and animals, too. The budget carves out $70 million to support NC State College Veterinarian Medicine's plans to expand and renovate its large animal hospital, including a center to better care for horses and livestock. Aside from the additional space, the funding will also allow the college to increase its incoming class sizes from 100 to 125 veterinary students. The school says that about 60% of its students remain in North Carolina after graduating. North Carolina's food animal industry is a big part of the state's overall agriculture engine. Nearly 70% of the state's $13.3 billion farm cash receipts in 2021 involved livestock, dairy, and poultry production. Greenville promotes Cowan. An East Carolina University graduate has a new job, city manager for Greenville. Michael Cowan, who graduated from ECU in 1995, begins November 1st after being appointed by the Greenville City Council. He will succeed Ann Wall, who began her tenure in August 2017. Cowan joined Greenville as assistant city manager in 2015, also serving as the city's chief financial officer. I am honored that the city council has given me this opportunity as city manager, and I look forward to playing a part in the future prosperity of Greenville, Cowan says. His salary starts at $216,000. Hardware chain comes to Cary. A hardware store has picked Crossroads Plaza in Cary for its first location in the region. Rockler Woodworking and Hardware opened its second North Carolina store recently at 314 Crossroads Boulevard. The 7,400 square foot store sells woodworking tools and supplies, hardware, furniture, building products, and a lumber outlet. The Rockler store also features a classroom space where the store will offer hands-on woodworking classes. Participants can make items like pens, bowls, and cheese boards while honing skills. The family-run company is based in Minnesota and has 48 stores across the country, including the one it opened in Charlotte last year. Raleigh and Durham are great cities with strong woodworking communities, and we're excited to be a new resource to help woodworkers and DIYers with their projects, says Joe Kester, Rockler's vice president of retail. Whether someone is a veteran woodworker or just starting out, we've got the gear and materials they need to tackle most any project, and we've got expert staff on site to help with project advice. And finally, Virginia developer enters Triangle. Yet another developer is targeting the Triangle as a company from Arlington, Virginia has closed on land for its first development in North Carolina. Avalon Bay Communities paid $16.75 million for almost 7 acres of land in a busy Durham corridor, according to Durham County deed records. Avalon Bay plans to build a multifamily community with 930 units and several amenities. The community will be at 4802 Durham Chapel Hill Boulevard, near New Hope Commons and Patterson Place Shopping Centers. The newly acquired land will be for the first phase, which will have 459 units. The company anticipates starting construction in 2024 with a completion date of 2026. CBRE Raleigh represented the seller, Beacon Properties Group, in the transaction. Beacon Properties is planning commercial projects on neighboring parcels fronting 15501. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. First, we start with an article written by Ben Tobin. Huge project advances on Wake-Chatham border. The Charlotte-based developer behind a 380-acre commercial and industrial development at the western edge of Apex has started acquiring land for the second phase of the development with quite the big price tag. BIN, AG2, an LLC tied to development group Beacon Partners, acquired about 10.4 acres of land in Chatham County for more than $1.45 million, according to Chatham County deed records. That comes out to roughly $140,000 per acre. Walker Gorham, Triangle market leader for Beacon Partners, says that the land acquisition is part of the second phase of the massive mixed-use development called Apex Gateway. The group acquired the final 42 acres, paying more than $4 million for the 132-acre first phase in June and began site work over the summer. We will have several additional parcel acquisitions in the coming months as part of the overall Phase 2 land assemblage, Gorham says in an email. The first phase is expected to be complete in the second half of 2024. Sitting at the intersection of U.S. Highway 64 and NC Highway 751 on the Chatham side of the Chatham-Wake County border, Apex Gateway will span more than 1 million square feet. The first phase will contain five industrial buildings, including one that will serve as the new Durham Coca-Cola bottling headquarters. The state-of-the-art headquarters facility for Coca-Cola bottling will total 172,150 square feet. The company is consolidating its operation, and its facility in Durham is set to be transformed into apartments, townhomes, a grocery store, and retail space. The second phase of the Apex Gateway project will include more than 50,000 square feet of retail space, Gorham previously said. Beacon Partners anticipates starting on the second phase in fall 2024. Chatham County is riding a development boom that could reshape the entire region in the coming years. Semiconductor manufacturer Wolfspeed and electric vehicle manufacturer VinFast are each planning large factories that could create thousands of jobs in the county, and developers are looking to capitalize on Chatham's growing population with several commercial and residential projects planned or underway in eastern Chatham County. Figure 8 home faces auction. IRS says Chapel Hill couple owes more than $7 million in tax liens. This article is written by Lauren Onasorge. The founder of an M&A consulting firm and his wife are on the hook for more than $7 million in tax liens tied to a luxury home on Figure 8 Island. Ralph C. Taylor Jr. of Taylor Advisory LLC and his wife Nancy of Chapel Hill are being sued by the U.S. government again. A federal lawsuit on behalf of the Internal Revenue Service asks a court to start foreclosure proceedings for the property at 4 Inlet Hook Road at the northern end of the island. The IRS placed tax liens on the property based on unpaid federal income taxes that racked up from 2008 to 2014, totaling more than $7.2 million. The agency had previously settled a lawsuit with the Taylors in 2022. The couple consented to an order of sale if the property had not been sold by July of this year. The date was extended until September 30, but the property is still in their possession, according to the lawsuit. Thus, the United States is entitled to foreclose on the house pursuant to the order of sale, according to the civil complaint filed this month. Under the IRS order, the house would be up for auction. According to a Realtor.com listing, the four-bedroom, five-and-a-half-bath house is 3,090 square feet and was for sale at a price of $4.5 million. Tax records in New Hanover County say the property has an appraised value of $2.03 million. The house was built in 1994, records show. Until the property is sold, the Taylors would be required to take all reasonable steps necessary to preserve the property and its fixtures, as well as maintain its insurance policies. The Taylors are being represented by Douglas Kingsbury of Therrington Smith, who did not return a request to comment. The house has the same address listed in a regulatory filing for Taylor Advisory, a Washington, D.C.-based consulting firm founded by Ralph Taylor. The company also did not return a request to comment for this story. And our next article, written by Kaylee Thompson, revamped Raleigh site sells fast along Blue Ridge. A recently completed apartment complex in Raleigh's Blue Ridge corridor has been sold for more than $70 million as the multifamily sector sees acquisition activity pick up. Boston's Easton Vance Management, part of Morgan Stanley Investment Management, acquired the Novo Blue Ridge Apartments for $73.65 million in September, according to Wake County deed records. Morgan Stanley Investment Management is the asset management arm of Morgan Stanley. The complex has 280 units across eight buildings on about 11 acres. The property at the southern end of Blue Ridge Road near Western Boulevard previously held an AMC movie theater. Georgia real estate development and investment firm Shelton McNally acquired the site in 2020 and then developed the apartment complex, completing it in November 2022. Shelton McNally sold the property to Eaton Vance. The total assessed value is approximately $46.6 million. The corridor is seeing plenty of investment. The NC Department of Health and Human Services is building a new headquarters. Bandwidth has opened its new campus, and the UNC Rex Hospital area is full of construction projects. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Lauren Onosorge's page on tech and finance. Local startup a hit at Paris Fashion Week. Stella McCartney picks Kiel Labs for some dresses. A handful of Stella McCartney dresses displayed at Paris Fashion Week started as kelp, a type of seaweed, before being processed at a manufacturing plant in Morrisville. It's just the jumping-off point for Kiel Labs, formerly called Alginit, a Morrisville company working to transform seaweed into sustainable textiles, says Alex Gasuski, chief operating officer and co-founder. Gosuski says fashion designer McCartney's decision to debut clothing made its new kelp-based Kelson yarn at the recent Paris Fashion Week is a major milestone for the company, which is in the process of expanding. Kiel Labs, and that's spelled K-E-E-L, founded in 2017, moved its headquarters to the Triangle last year and is planning to double its current footprint. Gasuski says the collaboration with McCartney, an English fashion designer and daughter of Paul McCartney, is the product of years' worth of conversations. This past year, the conversations got more and more progressive to the point where we were like, great, we're going to make this Paris Fashion Week the official launch, Gasuski says. It was the sustainability of the yarn that attracted McCartney, who told The Guardian the products utilizing Kiel Labs' technology created a moment for a community who care about fashion and environment to come together. Gasuski describes the experience working with McCartney's brand as incredible. There's really no words to sort of encompass the feeling behind everything, Gasuski says. The next step is scaling. Right now, the company has about 30 employees, primarily in North Carolina, but the plan is to scale up to create more yarn, both through increasing space at its existing headquarters and adding equipment. Airlines tighten flight schedules for New York travel. Holiday flying between Raleigh-Durham International Airport and New York's three main airports had been ticking up since the pandemic, but that's about to change. A sweep of RDU schedules for October, November, and December shows decreases as the Federal Aviation Administration works to navigate staffing shortages in the New York area. The New York Metro has typically been one of RDU's most popular destinations, but when you add up flights from RDU to JFK, LaGuardia, and Newark, you get nearly 32,000 fewer seats scheduled for the last 3 months of 2023 compared to the same period in 2022, according to numbers released by Aviation Data Tracker. Cirium. November 2022 saw more than 100,600 seats between RDU and the New York Metro. This year, just under 88,000 seats are scheduled. The biggest difference came at JFK, which had 7,500 fewer seats on its schedule. And finally, Durham man guilty of $9.5 million Ponzi scheme. Many of the alleged victims in what prosecutors call a $9.5 million Ponzi scheme said they were introduced to Naeem Chowdhury, the quiet, seemingly humble project manager at UNC Chapel Hill, through friends. Little by little, he lost their money on risky trades. The money he didn't lose went toward personal purchases, such as an $85,000 car, or to pay back other investors, federal prosecutors allege. Chowdhury's clients say that even after the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission made its investigation into Chowdhury public, he was still soliciting their cash, thinking he could trade his way out of the widening hole he was falling into. Jason Morgan, an entrepreneur in Florida, invested $350,000 in Chowdhury's Dream Venture Capital Group in Durham after watching friends get returns. Once he started getting checks, he convinced his mother to invest her $200,000 inheritance, what equated to the bulk of her retirement. "That's all she really had, to be honest with you," he said. This month, in front of U.S. District Court Judge Loretta Biggs in a Winston-Salem courtroom, Chowdhury pleaded guilty to criminal fraud charges. His sentencing is scheduled for March. He faces up to 20 years in prison. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page on healthcare and higher ed. Biotech adds cash but trims workforce. AdSena Therapeutics is developing solutions for loss of vision. Aderm Biotech is raising millions to advance its gene therapy programs targeting diseases that cause blindness, but it's doing so with a smaller workforce. AdSena Therapeutics, spelled A-T-S-E-N-A, has raised about $24.5 million from 10 investors and is looking to raise more, according to an October 2nd filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. The company set a total offering amount for the raise at $32 million. CEO Patrick Richel confirms that AdSena has closed an insider-led Series B round. He adds that AdSena is in ongoing discussions with potential additional investors. But AdSena has also implemented a workforce reduction that will extend its runway and enable the biotech to achieve top-line results in an ongoing Phase 1-2 clinical trial, Richel says. The company declines to share details, which Richel says prioritizes resources toward a program called ATSN-201. This program is targeting X-linked retinoschisis, a disease with no approved treatments that causes progressive vision loss. As of July 2022, AdSena had about 35 full-time employees and had moved into a facility with 20,000 square feet of laboratory and office space in the Alexandria Center for Advanced Technologies off Davis Drive. AdSena isn't the only company that has trimmed its workforce in a difficult financial environment for smaller biotech and pharma companies. Opus Genetics, another gene therapy firm targeting causes of blindness, trimmed its staff earlier this year and shifted all its efforts to its two most advanced development programs. This is AdSena's first raise in about 3 years. The company in April 2020 closed a roughly $8.2 million round, led by founding investors Hatteras Venture Partners of Durham and the venture arm of Foundation Fighting Blindness called the Retinal Degeneration Fund. AdSena followed this with a $55 million Series A round in late 2020, led by Sofinnova Investments with participation from Abingworth, Lighthouse Ventures, Hatteras, and the RD Fund. In August, AdSena began dosing patients in this clinical study targeting X-linked retinoschisis. Skysis, or XLRS. It is enrolling male patients between the ages of 6 and 64 as the disease primarily affects males and is typically diagnosed in early childhood. About 30,000 males in the U.S. and Europe have XLRS, AdSena says. Raleigh private equity firm grows portfolio with acquisition. A Raleigh private equity firm has added to its portfolio with the acquisition of a California company. QHP Capital has acquired Applied Stem Cell, which focuses on contract research, development, and manufacturing in the cell and gene therapy space. Financial details were not released. The acquisition continues QHP's focus on businesses for pharma services. The firm's portfolio also includes Catalyst Clinical Research, a contract research organization, or CRO, with headquarters in Wilmington and offices in Raleigh. QHP Capital in July 2020 added another North Carolina company to its portfolio with its acquisition of Lexitas Pharma Services. Lexitas is a CRO in Durham that supports biopharmaceutical and medical device clinical trials focused on ophthalmology. QHP formed in 2021 through the spinoff of NovaQuest Capital Management's private equity unit. QHP in May 2022 closed its investment fund, NovaQuest Private Equity Fund II, at $500 million. That followed a $275 million fund in 2018. QHP's focus is supporting companies in position to scale and in the life sciences industry, says QHP partners Matt Jenkins and Jeff Edwards. And finally, home health firm completes divestment. A longtime North Carolina healthcare company that provides services to people in their homes is divesting part of its business. WellCare Health is divesting its home care operations to Avid Health at Home, which is an entity newly formed by a private equity firm in Dallas. This divestiture will not affect WellCare's home health or hospice operations, the company said in a statement. In today's rapidly evolving healthcare industry, all providers must continue to evaluate their strategic direction and focus areas, WellCare CEO Zach Long said. The companies didn't disclose financial details of the transaction. As part of this divestiture, All employees of WellCare's home care business will be retained by Avid Health, which was formed in August by Havencrest Capital Management as a non-medical home care platform. WellCare was formed more than 3 decades ago. And now we turn to On Retail and Restaurants. This page written by Laura Brumette. Charlotte chain takes prime 5-point spot Max Speed Shop to replace Lone Rider on Glenwood Avenue. Max Speed Shop, a restaurant brand known for barbecue, beer, and motorcycles, is opening in 5 Points in Raleigh. The restaurant chain is taking over the space at 1626 Glenwood Avenue, the former home of Lone Rider Brewing's 5 Points hideout, and before that, the Point at Glenwood Restaurant. Lone Rider closed its tap room in the space earlier this summer. The location, which opened in late 2020, had a hard time finding labor, Lone Rider CEO Summit Vora previously said. The tap room was also the only Lone Rider location to offer a food menu, which proved difficult to manage. Max Speed Shop bought Lone Rider out of its lease agreement with the landlord, President Tony Salerno says. He hopes to open by the end of the year. The Raleigh location will offer a similar menu to the brand's other locations, barbecue, sandwiches, burgers, and beer, but with the addition of pizza. The space has 2 built-in brick pizza ovens, allowing the team to experiment with making flatbreads and calzones, Salerno says. Max Speed Shop opened in 2005 in Charlotte's South End. It now has 9 locations in the Charlotte, Lake Norman, Fayetteville, Greenville, Greensboro, and Wilmington areas. The first restaurant in South End started in a little box similar to the space in 5 Points, Salerno says. We thought it was just a great fit for us to be able to put our first restaurant there, the first Max Speed Shop in Raleigh, to start to build out that market. Though the building does not offer adequate parking spaces, it does have an outdoor seating area, so Salerno plans to renovate and utilize the outdoor space in the spring. With everything that's going on with the Rialto and the Loop and Uncle Jesse's Honky Tonk right there, Max is going to be a perfect fit for 5 Points, Salerno says. Asian-focused market opens in Briar Creek. Fresh International Market, with a focus on Asian products, is open in Raleigh after moving its headquarters to the city. Fresh International Market is located at 10341 Moncrief Road in Briar Creek, in the former Earth Fair location. It officially opened October 7. The brand began in 2011 with a store in East Lansing, Michigan. Fresh International Market now has 9 stores, including the Raleigh location. The store will feature 2 kitchens, as well as an on-site butcher, a halal butchery, and a fresh seafood department. The breakfast kitchen will serve dishes like fresh soybean milk, noodles, and buns. The stir-fry kitchen will offer Chinese barbecue dishes. The store will also feature a Paris baguette bakery, an international brand with thousands of stores across the globe. The South Korean company is... It serves a range of baked goods meant to meld French and Asian techniques. And our last article, Scrimp Shack to reopen Durham spot. Scrimp Shack, a fast casual chain out of Virginia, is reopening its Durham location at 3600 North Duke Street after several months. The franchise location is now owned by the company's chief operating officer, Kyle Rowley. Scrimp Shack has 24 locations across Virginia and North Carolina. The brand was founded in 2011 in Yorktown, Virginia. The menu includes fried shrimp, chicken, and seafood sandwiches, po' boys, tacos, oysters, fish baskets, collards, fries, and hush puppies. We're thrilled to bring the Scrimp Shack experience to the Durham community, Rowley says. A grand opening is scheduled for October 18. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to On Greater Triangle Growth, page written by Ben Tobin. Sandstone pitches $30 million rehab facility. Sandstone Health focuses on therapy, rehab, long-term care. A medical care provider based in the Asheville area is set to expand into Moore County with a major project as the area continues to see its population grow. An LLC tied to Sandstone Health and Rehabilitation, which specializes in various forms of therapy, rehab, and long-term care, purchased more than 11 acres off Midland Road for $2.4 million on September 26 in the village of Pinehurst, according to Moore County deed records. The medical care group plans to invest around $30 million to build a 73,900-square-foot all-private suite rehabilitation facility, according to Jennifer Robinson, president of Sandstone Health. Sandstone Health is committed to providing caring, professional, and compassionate environments for people to live and rehabilitate while creating unique and exceptional settings for our people to work, Robinson says. She adds the company is in very preliminary stages of development for the Pinehurst facility. This facility will offer advanced short-term, post-acute rehabilitative care and long-term care opportunities for the community, Robinson says. She says the project will have 100 total single-occupancy patient rooms and more than 80 full-time employees. The company is hoping to complete construction by 2025, but given the current potential for delays, this project may not be complete until 2026, Robinson says. Sandstone Health is based in Arden, located south of Asheville, and employs 2,500 throughout North Carolina with 18 locations across the state, including a location in Sanford. This new Pinehurst facility will be Sandstone Health's first in Moore County. This is the latest development to come to Moore County, where a growing population has led to demand for health care and other professional services. Moore County grew from 88,247 residents in 2010 to just shy of 100,000 in 2020, according to U.S. Census Bureau estimates. Earnings give fresh insight into VinFast. VinFast has released new details about its push into the North American market, as well as the hundreds of millions of dollars pouring into it from its parent company and billionaire owner. In its third quarter earnings report, the Vietnamese company said it is planning to increase partnerships with third-party dealerships. The company aims to be in 50 global markets and countries by next year. The company is owned by billionaire Pham Nhat Vuong, Vietnam's richest person. It broke ground on its Chatham factory this summer, but VinFast is getting significant support from its parent company, Vingroup, and Vuong. The earnings report notes that in April, VinFast entered into an agreement that allows it to receive billions in grants and loans from Vuong and Vingroup. Through September, Vingroup had disbursed approximately $955 million in loans to VinFast. Local CRE firm adds land in Southern Pines. A local real estate company with a long history in Moore County has scooped up a commercial property in Southern Pines for a hefty price. JR Holdings Group, an LLC tied to CF Smith Property Group in Pinehurst, purchased 0.84 acres in Southern Pines for $1 million on September 29, according to Moore County deed records. The property along U.S. Highway 1, North Sand Hills Boulevard, holds a former PNC Bank branch that measures roughly 2,500 square feet. It's unclear what CF Smith Property Group plans to do with the building and land. Representatives did not respond to requests for comment. And finally, Major Group grabs land near Anger. One of the nation's largest home builders is bullish on Harnett County, where more and more builders are starting projects amid rising costs in the Triangle's core counties. DRB Group North Carolina, an LLC attached to Maryland real estate developer DRB Group, formerly Dan Ryan Builders, purchased nearly 100 acres in Anger for $8.15 million late last month, according to Harnett County deed records. The land sits southwest of the intersection of Tippett and Roy Adams Roads, just south of downtown Anger. Representatives of the company did not respond to multiple requests seeking comment. And our last reporter page is Kaylee Thompson's on real estate. Raleigh facility to get major renovation. Pruitt Health to pour $385 million into Whitaker Mill Road community. A senior living facility near Raleigh's Five Points neighborhood is undergoing a $385 million revamp that will bring new retail and food options to the growing area. Pruitt Health is redeveloping the Oaks at Whitaker Glen, Mayview, an independent living and skilled nursing facility on Whitaker Mill Road near High Park Bar and Grill. The redevelopment will include 340 units and beds and the renovation of 93 current units. The revamped development will have an additional 152 independent living units, bringing the total to 245. There will also be 82 assisted living units with 106 beds in a skilled nursing facility. 24 of those beds will be in a memory care unit. Pruitt Health CEO Neil Pruitt says this development has been in the works for more than a decade, but that the pandemic spurred the company to move forward. The company expects to break ground by spring, but won't be starting until 75% of the units in the first phase are sold. Full build-out of the multi-phase development will take about 2 years. Pruitt says the first phase will have 28 independent living units with a mix of one and two bedrooms. These will be for sale and are estimated to run between $160,000 to $315,000 for a one-bedroom unit and $395,000 to $710,000 for a two-bedroom unit. The renovations for the existing units are underway and almost complete. Later phases will include the remaining 124 independent living units and the assisted living units and the new skilled nursing facility. Mayview was the former skilled nursing facility. It was vacated during the pandemic. Pruitt says the pandemic made the company realize the facilities were obsolete and that it could consolidate operations. The Mayview building will be demolished to make way for additional development. The community will have several amenities such as billiards and a card room, theater, spine wellness service, swimming pool, pickleball and bocce courts, putting green, golf simulator, and nature trails. There will also be retail services, including a pharmacy, coffee shop with bakery, cafe serving brick oven pizza, a sports bar, and a fine dining restaurant that will be open to the public. The restaurants will be run by Pruitt Health with local and regionally inspired food options. Raleigh closer to launching bus project. Construction on a transit project that will connect four key Wake County corridors could start by the end of this year. Het Patel, project manager for the Bus Rapid Transit Project for Raleigh, says the city can seek construction bids after October. The remaining piece before the bid process is to get final approval from the North Carolina Department of Transportation on the project design, which should happen this month, according to Patel. After a 30-day bid period, the city can award the bid and move ahead to construction. The first corridor to be built will be the New Bern Corridor, which stretches for 5.39 miles from downtown Raleigh at the Go Raleigh Station to the intersection of New Bern Avenue and New Hope Road. Patel says the current plan is to start in downtown going out toward New Hope Road. Construction for the New Bern Corridor should take about 18 to 24 months. And finally, residential development heats up. Big residential developments are being planned in Durham, north of Briar Creek, where residential projects continue to fill in the area. One, Shady Grove, will have 420 residences with rental and for sale units. 300 will be townhomes, while 120 will be single family homes. The units will be between Shady Grove and Olive Branch Roads, north of Highway 70. Six of the single family homes will be designated as affordable units. The project is linked to an LLC named 73 Development, which has a Raleigh address for the offices of Longleaf Law Partners, a commercial real estate firm. Listing price and project timeline are unknown. A traffic impact analysis for Shady Grove assumes build-out in 2025. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World, inside the Triangle's nonprofit scene. Angus Barn event raises funds for mental illness. On October 8th, the 35th annual Thad and Alice Uhr Walk for Hope event was held at the Angus Barn in Raleigh. The Foundation of Hope event brings in thousands of participants in order to show solidarity for family, friends, and community members living with a mental illness. The Walk Run event features food, live music, prizes, kids activities, and more. Last year, the event raised more than $790,000 with 3,200 people participating. 100% of the money raised by participants directly funds local mental illness research at the UNC Chapel Hill Department of Psychiatry and its initiative called CHAMP, Child and Adolescent Anxiety and Mood Disorders Program, which focuses on research in elementary, middle, and high school and young adults. As a follow-up to this year's walk, the foundation on October 16 is having a virtual meet and greet with Dr. Danielle Rubinov, Dr. Samantha Meltzer-Brody, and researchers that have received grants from the foundation. Raleigh Police gets support from new foundation. The Raleigh Police Department Foundation presented the Raleigh Police Department with a check for $281,776 on September 21. It's remarkable to have raised almost $3 million in 1 year for a startup foundation, said Brenda Gibson, chair of the foundation board. It just shows the tremendous support the Raleigh Police Department enjoys and the overall importance of public safety. Gibson noted that the funds will help purchase the city's first integrated camera system. It should be a game changer, she says. The FUSIS Real-Time Center platform is a video and data collaboration platform that should help police respond quickly. Bill King, CEO of the Downtown Raleigh Alliance, said, "We visited several cities and saw this type of network used with great effect." Another foundation-funded initiative was for the purchase of five additional enduro electric motorcycles to better patrol the city's parks and greenways. Step Up gets big gift from Truist Foundation. Step Up Ministry, a Raleigh nonprofit that helps people transform their lives through employment and skills training, has received a $250,000 grant from the Truist Foundation. The grant will support the launch of a new employment academy to help with career training for people in Wake County looking for work. Thanks to the dedication of Truist Foundation to workforce development and enhancing the economic stability of North Carolina families, Step Up Ministry can better serve our participants, said Step Up Executive Director Kalisha Stanford. The goal of the Employment Academy is a flexible program schedule tailored to those who are unemployed or underemployed. Overall, Step Up Ministry, founded in 1989 by White Memorial Presbyterian Church, serves about 600 people annually. Alliance Medical Ministry celebrates 20 years. Alliance Medical Ministry, which provides medical services for those in need, celebrated 20 years on September 14 with a gala that drew a crowd of 125 invited guests. The event raised $120,000. Alliance provides quality, affordable care to working adults without insurance, looking to fill a gap in services that help patients and reduces burdens on hospital emergency rooms. It's located at 101 Donald Ross Drive in Raleigh. Its services include chronic disease management and preventative care, lab work, and a wide variety of specialty care. In fiscal 2021 to 22, Alliance served more than 2,100 patients. Since 2003, AMM has grown to serve more than 2,000 patients per year, all of whom are working and uninsured. Veteran given home in Zebulon. Retired Captain Hans Mumm, who was medically discharged in 2010 after more than 16 years in the U.S. Army, has a new home thanks to an initiative to support veterans. Building Homes for Heroes is funding a home for Mumm and his family with support from Lowe's and other partners, including Advance Auto Parts of Raleigh. New York businessman Andy Pujol founded Building Homes for Heroes after the September 11 attacks. Advance Auto has donated $18 million to the effort since 2012. And finally, Town Bank chips in at Riding Academy. In September, Town Bank participated in the United Way Day of Caring at organizations throughout the neighborhoods it serves. In Raleigh, the team helped build a ride-in shed for the horses, painted, landscaped, and assisted with barn chores at Corral Riding Academy, an organization that provides equine therapy for girls in high-risk situations. And now we turn to the Viewpoint page to read the editor's notebook written by Sugata Mukherjee, editor-in-chief of Triangle Business Journal. The headline, Raleigh Needs New Tools to Keep Downtown Safe. In a recent Raleigh City Council meeting, the owner of the Bittersweet, a cocktail bar in Martin Street, was visibly angry. My staff has been spit on. My staff has been thrown up against glass windows. My staff has been sexually groped. My staff has been threatened with bricks, and they've had their lives threatened on a regular basis, Kim Hammer told the city council members. She and others who own retail establishments downtown shared similar experiences and demanded the city step up enforcement and make downtown streets safer. Numbers released by Raleigh reflect what Hammer and others have been saying for the past 6 months. In 2023, aggravated assault is up 90% when compared to last year. Sex offenses are up 55% and disorderly conduct is up 27%. Raleigh Police Chief Estella Patterson and Mayor Marianne Baldwin have both acknowledged this is a rising problem for a city that is growing exponentially. One of the arguments they have made is there are not enough police officers to go around and respond to calls. Perhaps we need to talk about pay equity some other time, but there is a problem with growing cities trying to recruit police officers nationwide. According to the Police Executive Research Forum, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank, officer resignations were up 47% in 2022 compared to 2019, the year before the pandemic and George Floyd's killing, and retirements are up 19%. So how will the city solve the staffing issue in a timely manner, especially when businesses and patrons visiting downtown want to feel safe working, living, or just playing? We need new tools. Already, the idea of private security has been floating around. That's a good start, but it requires serious vetting of the companies that want to do the work of law enforcement. History tells us when cities or governments rely on such services, reports of mistreatment, excessive use of force, and unnecessary harassment are often on the rise. But it still may be worth a try, since the current situation is likely to get worse. Based on incident reports and trends, downtown Raleigh has some hot spots where things are appreciably worse than other parts of the business grid. City officials have indicated the presence of police officers will be a priority in the coming weeks. We need to see immediate results. A vibrant and active downtown showcases the city's charm, energy, and general vibe. If site selection folks are coming to look at the Research Triangle Park or other business centers across the Triangle, chances are they are visiting downtown Raleigh too. But the largest stakeholders are the owners of land and property in downtown, as well as those who live and work there. They matter the most. They have invested millions of dollars in downtown, and they have trusted the city and county to provide them with a workable and vibrant atmosphere. As a community, we must listen to their plea intently, and since we have downtown booster groups, the city and the county all wanting the same result, Raleigh must find new tools to track crime and violence. This is not a downtown Raleigh problem. This is Raleigh's problem, and the entire city should be vested in coming up with ideas to solve this problem equitably. And now we'll read the big number sections that are sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, 170. That's the number of Triangle jobs impacted by Epic Games' decision to cut more than 800 positions, according to a regulatory disclosure with the North Carolina Department of Commerce. The layoffs began October 2nd. $300,000. That's the size of the contract that Durham firm Polaris QB has landed from the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, part of the U.S. Department of Defense. The one-year award will help Polaris QB improve on its quantum computing technology, which it is developing as a drug discovery platform. $5 million. That's how much the North Carolina Restaurant and Lodging Association is dedicated to a new effort to recruit restaurant workers. Called Serving Careers, the effort is funded from the state's portion of the American Rescue Plan money. $3.25 million. The amount a New York investment firm recently paid for an affordable housing community in Vance County. $201,250. That's how many square feet the new industrial park near Raleigh-Durham International Airport will have. It's being developed by Merit Properties of Maryland. And now we'll read the quotable sections that are also sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first quote is from Larry Connor, president and general manager of Prestonwood Country Club, on his favorite part of the SAS Championship. The 23rd SAS event is through October 15th. I would say the relationship with the players and the tournament itself. There's a lot of guys who come here year after year, and we've created nice relationships with them. It's just nice to have them show up and feel very welcome. Next, we have David Hall, the managing partner at Revolution's Rise of the Rest Seed Fund, who will be at Ironclad Brewery in Wilmington November 16 from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. to talk to North Carolina entrepreneurs. If you're going to innovate around farming or education or workforce development, you're going to need some lived-in experience. And our next quotable is Eli Manning. On the pressure to live up to his father and older brother Peyton's success, Manning and his father Archie were guest speakers at the Friends of Scouting Luncheon at PNC Arena. If I'd been a failure, if I had the same success, you can't control those things sometimes, but you can control your effort, your dedication, and your commitment. And our last quotable is Dustin Atkilski, regional partner, St. John's Properties. We believe in the enduring fundamentals of the town of Wake Forest, specifically their steadily growing population, continued focus on the infusion of new companies and associated jobs, high quality of life, diverse educational, recreational, and cultural opportunities, all while still maintaining that small town charm. And now we'll read some of our news from around the state. First, we have an article from the Triad Business Journal. Greensboro Group sells industrial building retail center. Triad real estate investor sold a pair of properties recently, unloading an industrial warehouse and retail center. Forsyth County records show that a Greensboro LLC managed by Colin and Shauna Roxon sold an almost 40,000 square foot multi-tenant industrial warehouse in Kernersville at 128 Furlong Industrial Drive for $3.3 million. Saddlebrook Properties LLC of Greenville, South Carolina, was the buyer. Built in 1988, the Class C building has a 24-foot clear ceiling and sits on 2.86 acres within a short stroll to the east of downtown Kernersville. In Guilford County, County, the Roxins Controlled LLC sold a small retail center at 3925 Sedgbrook Street in High Point for $1.325 million. Dakotas Properties Incorporated, a property founded in 1957 by Bill Kotis. The High Point Retail Center, built in 1997, is more than 9,400 square feet with tenants that include La Pizzeria and Members Credit Union. The property was listed as being 100% occupied. And from the Charlotte Business Journal, written by Jennifer Thomas, Charlotte's Clean Juice challenged, organic juice chain facing revolt by franchisees. Once high-flying Clean Juice is facing a franchisee revolt, more than 51 stores, roughly 45% of the Charlotte-based organic juice chain's current footprint, could close this year, with many franchisees pursuing legal options to exit their agreements. They claim dwindling sales, mounting losses, and questionable accounting practices, with a major shift in the company's juicing strategy, are driving their concerns. Clean Juice CEO Landon Eccles disputes many of the claims. He says the company isn't responsible for the struggles of individual franchisees. He and wife Kat launched Clean Juice as the first and only U.S. Department of Agriculture certified organic juice bar, later expanding it to offer healthy foods. They went from a solo location in Huntersville in 2015 to the first franchise opening in 2017. Clean Juice now has 112 locations after 32 stores closed in the last 12 months. 30-plus franchisees are now engaged in mediation with the chain, says Leon Herzel, an attorney for the Independent Association of Clean Juice Franchisees, a group of current and former franchise owners that came together to discuss issues and pursue possible recourse. Some franchisees recently spoke with the Charlotte Business Journal under agreement that their names would not be published for fear of retribution. One franchisee says she was finally about to break even. Then Clean Juice switched up its business model, eliminating in-store juicing in favor of buying bottled juice directly from the company. The result, a $25,000 loss for 2022 and mounting frustration, the franchisee says. The losses aren't solely related to the juicing change, but some say it was the last straw. One of the most disturbing things about them is they've had many opportunities to accept partial responsibility for this failure, and they won't even say that, one franchisee says. They just won't accept any responsibility whatsoever. It's always the franchisee's fault. It's the economy. In the beginning, everything about Clean Juice seemed like a perfect fit. Its organic and healthy menu, the profit projections, franchisees in the mediation group say. Now Herzel says those in the group say see no way forward. And we'll go ahead and stop there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.